Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
Wouldn't it be great if all your relationships were peaceful ones? No conflict, no hostility, no fractures in closeness. We all want that. And James 3 teaches us how to do it.
So how do we sow in peace? The best literature I know of on that topic, and it's tempting to just launch into a whole sermon series on this, but I'll resist that. I'll just tell you, the best literature I know is the Sermon on the Mount, especially chapters 5 and 7, Matthew 5 and 7, Matthew 18, and Romans 12. Study that. If you're in a dispute with someone, study that, those chapters. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 18, Romans 12. And if you want a resource that does a good job at showing how to apply those principles in specific situations, an outstanding book on that subject is The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. Good book. And there's a brochure that summarizes all the main points in that book, and an excellent, very helpful brochure. It's called The Peacemaking Principles Pamphlet. You can download that on peacemaker.net. I think we've got it in our bookstore, and you can grab those. But very, very helpful thing. But just in these closing minutes, let me just show you a couple things that Scripture says about how to deal with a conflict, how to be a peacemaker. There's a couple of ways that the flesh responds to conflict. There's three different responses, basically, that you can have to conflict. The first two are earthly wisdom. Fight or flight. Those are earthly wisdom. Just the natural human response. Fight, that means go on the attack. Somebody hurts you, you respond with some form of revenge. Like cold shoulder at church, gossip, slander, putting a spotlight on their sin or their weakness, being glad when they suffer, maybe even litigation, which of course is forbidden in 1 Corinthians 6, and yet people still do that. And in the most extreme cases, physical assault or murder. Those are all attack responses, fight. And some people, they naturally go that way. Other people, they go the opposite way. They just run, flight. These are the people, they just quit their job. Or they leave the church. Or file for divorce. Or give up on a friendship. Or in the most extreme cases, commit suicide. Those are all flight responses, running away. And they're both responses of the flesh. But there's a third response. Instead of having the earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom that does fight or flight, and the result of that, by the way, is, James says, is chaos, tumult, disorder, anger, fighting, every evil practice. But instead of those two responses, there's a third possible response. Peacemaking. And that's the response of God's wisdom. And there's a few principles I can give you on that. First, let me just give you three real quick. Number one, if you can overlook the offense, overlook it. Overlook it. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. You don't have to make a federal case out of everything. Right? Just have some thick skin. Overlook. If I suspect that this person is probably repentant about that character flaw that drove them to hurt me, then there's no reason for you to bring it up. I don't need to bring it up. And when you overlook an offense, that means you put it out of your mind and you refuse to think about it, and it has no impact on the way that you feel about that person, has no impact on your relationship with that person. That's what overlooking is. But in some cases, you can't do that. It would be unloving to overlook the offense, because if the person's not repentant, or you suspect they're not repentant, then overlooking it is just going to damage them, because they're walking down a path that's going to destroy them. And you need to rescue them from that. You need to restore them from that. Galatians 6:1 says, in that case, you who are spiritual should go to them and restore them gently and humbly. And to do that, Matthew 18 says you confront them face to face, one on one. You don't involve anybody else. It's just the two of you. And you show him his fault from Scripture. You say, here's what's wrong with what you're doing. And you try to get him to repent. Once he repents, it's all over. You forgive. It's over. Then you don't think about it anymore. You put it out of your mind. It has no impact on how you feel about the person. It has no impact on your relationship with the person. But if they don't repent, then you bring one or two witnesses and try to persuade them to repent. If they still don't repent, then you bring it to before the whole church. And if they won't listen even to the church, then you put them out That's the process that Jesus spelled out in Matthew 18. And if you deviate from that process, or if you skip a step, you will destroy the peace instead of making peace. We're not at liberty to make adjustments to that. And then finally, in some cases, there may be a need for a third party. For example, if you have a situation where it's not necessarily sin, it's just a disagreement, but you just can't come to an agreement, and you need a third party to step in. There were two godly women in the church of Philippi who they had a conflict and they couldn't get it resolved. And so Paul called a third party to come in and help them work it out. And we'll do that. You know, if two of you have a dispute over something, you got some business deal or something, if you can't work it out, you both think the other one isn't wrong, you can come to us. Come to the elders, come to the deacons, come to us, and we will provide mediation or arbitration, and we'll help you work through that. You know, that's one of the jobs of the church. 1 Corinthians 6 commands that we do that. Appoint as judges people in the church to resolve disputes. And it's certainly better than going out to the world. He makes that point in 1 Corinthians 6 too. Don't go to the world, don't go to the courts. Appoint even the least in the church. What that means is even the dumbest guy in the church is going to do a better job at resolving your dispute than going out to the world. All right. Well, let's close our time just by turning to Romans 12. I just want you to see this passage. I don't have time to talk about this, but there's so much in here that'll help you in keeping the peace and making peace. Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a low position. Do not be conceited. And do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as long as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And do not take revenge, my friends. But leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Lord, there's so much in that marvelous text right there. I pray that you would teach that, all that to us. Show us how to pull a Romans 12:21 on the people who hurt us and overcome evil with good. Lord, show us how to be gentle. We sang earlier about how you wear the victor's crown. You're the conquering lion, but the conquering lion that wears that crown is a lamb. And you won that crown through meekness. And so, Lord, make us meek. Show us how to follow in those steps. Let us be gentle. Let us not be concerned about winning debates or arguments or conflicts, but bringing peace.
Of the responses of natural wisdom in conflict, fight or flight, which one do you tend toward the most? It's good to be aware of that so you know what to watch out for. And one other thing to think about for today. Has anyone ever pulled a Romans 12:21 on you, repaid your evil with good, or your harsh words with blessing? Can you remember the effect it had on you? And is there some situation in your life where God wants you to do that right now?
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.